So the question was asked, being that what we do in Eretz Yisrael has special weight in the eyes of Hashem, if a person is not going to be able to live up to, or is not going to live up to all of the mitzvot, is it better that he remain in Chutz Laaretz than come to Israel? So I want to discuss this in two phases. Phase number one is going to sound heretical, and that is, who told you that God wants every person at every stage of their life to keep all 613 mitzvot? Now, if I end the class now, you guys should never listen to me again, because that's a heretical statement. If a person says that we're not obligated to all 613, then he's a heretic. But why am I saying that? Who said that God expects every person at every state of their life to keep all 613? Because we both know that we're in a group of people who are chozrim b'tshuva, people who are working their way up. Now, let's analyze what's happening in a person's life. He grows up 20 years not keeping anything, not knowing anything or keeping anything. Then he discovers, oh, there's Judaism. Yeah, I knew I was a Jew, but gee, this is an interesting thing. Let's see what it's all about. Now, let's play God for a minute. Imagine you were God. Do you think that it would be fair of you to expect any person who grew up in an environment where he knew nothing, do you think it would be fair of you to expect them to keep all 613 mitzvot the first 20 years of their life before they knew anything about Judaism? I wouldn't think that were fair, and the Gemara doesn't think it's fair. And the Gemara has a rule. En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba B'Trunia Im Briyotav. God does not come to us with unfair expectations. The expectations are real for what we can really do. And sometimes we deny ourselves what we can really do. But at the end of the day, the expectations are always fair. So the Gemara has a concept of Tinok Shenishba LeBen Anochim VeGoy SheYitGayer LeBen Anochim. A baby that was abducted among non-Jews, or for all intents and purposes, a child that grew up in a non-Jewish environment not knowing what Judaism is. And a person, a non-Jew, who became a convert, but could not attend Machon Meir after his conversion, ended up moving back to his home country and continued living among Gentiles. Now, on his own, once upon a time, believe it or not, guys, there was no internet. There was such a day and age where there was no internet and you couldn't exactly follow classes online. This is a tremendous gift God gave us. Right. My son asked me what I did when the dinosaurs used to eat people. So, I don't know where you got the concept of dinosaurs from. Maybe when guys visited our house. I wasn't talking to them about it. But at any rate, so we have to recognize that God does not expect perfection from us. God is fair. So the first assumption that a Jew who is not keeping all 613 mitzvot is doing harm to the world, Chutz Laaretz Israel, I think is a misconception. I think it's wrong. I think that God looks and sees, look at him. Look at what a fantastic job he's done. And let me tell you a little secret. For the last hour and a half, while you guys were with Rav Siegel, I was feeling very lousy. And I don't want to go into details, but very lousy. Why am I still here? If not for the fact that I view you guys as giants, I wouldn't be here. I think you guys, each and every one of you, has undertaken such great things in their life and has given such sacrifice to come here and be here and learn. I have admiration for every guy here. I'm embarrassed when I walk into the class and guys stand up. I'm embarrassed. You guys are standing up in honor of the Torah, and I think I should be standing up in honor of who you are and what you guys have done. And I'm not just saying that. I really believe that. Each and every one of you is very modest. No one here tells the other person what he's contended with to come here. No, people don't share with one another where they've been. Each one tells this friend and that friend, but oh no, we don't know everyone's history here. And we don't discuss it. We look forward. And Chazal tell us, Bimkom Shebalei Tshuva Umdim, in the place where masters of tshuva stand, Tzadikim Gmurim Enam Umdim, complete Tzadikim don't stand. God has a special room in heaven for people who do tshuva. And I don't think God expects perfection of people. I think God expects us to be moving forward. So the first assumption, I think we have to rectify. A person in Chutz Laaretz who is working on doing mitzvot is doing a great job. A person in Israel that's working on doing mitzvot is doing a great job. And now the question is how fast they evolve. Okay, we evolve slowly. You know, sometimes slow and steady wins the race. You remember Rav Micha's story? Were you here with that class, Rav Micha? I'll summarize the story in a nutshell. He came back from Israel. He went to the Chabad rabbi. The Rebbetzin answers the door, and he tells her, I came back from Israel, and now I'm Orthodox. So she says, thank you very much. Wow, good for you. He says, yeah. And she says, look, just do us one favor. Don't come to the Chabad house anymore here on campus. So he's shocked. Well, I just accepted all of mitzvahs. I've been in Israel for 3 months. I'm going to do everything. And she's telling me not to come back. So she says, come, let me explain it to you. And she says, every year we have people who go to Israel, they decide they're going to keep everything, then they come back, and they say they're keeping everything, and as fast as they started keeping everything, they dump it all. They keep it for a month or two, and then it's gone. We don't need that. We want people who are consistent. I don't need you to tell me you're keeping all 613. I need you to choose one mitzvah, but be consistent with it. And promise that you're not going to leave it all year, till the end of the year and onward. One mitzvah. He said he agreed with her. He took one mitzvah, and by the end of the year, that mitzvah was so hard. And here he had thought he would keep all 613. Later, he made aliyah. He came to Israel, and then it became easier. He went to yeshiva. And now we have the great Rav Micha here. I wouldn't tell the story if not for the fact that he told it publicly, and it's online and everything. But that's his story, and it's a very smart story. You know, we have to grow slowly. God doesn't want us to go crazy. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says, don't go crazy from your learning Torah. You guys know that? It says that in Shulchan Aruch. Don't go crazy from learning Torah. Why does the Shulchan Aruch have to tell us that? Because people sometimes get into learning Torah and say, I won't sleep. And when they say, I won't sleep, sometimes they could go insane. I've seen it happen. I've been to the hospital for the psychiatric hospital up the block visiting people. Yes, it's happened. The Shulchan Aruch is not exaggerating. You know there's a psychiatric hospital up the block. Well, I went there knowing people who were there. What?
That's what they all said.
Don't tell. I don't want to go into it. But, so, the first point is, when a person's growing, he's doing amazing. It's between him and God, the rate of growth. And sometimes slow and steady is better than quick and flop. Tafasta merube lo tafasta, the Talmud says. When you try to grab too much, you don't end up with anything. It's a rule in life. So I think that that's point number one. Now, let's say you have a guy, he grew up in an Orthodox family, or he's evolved, and he can keep Shabbat, and he can keep kosher, and he's at the stage where he should be keeping most of the 613 mitzvot, and he's not putting his effort into keeping the mitzvot the way he should. He's being lax about keeping the mitzvot. So then I think that God would take him to task for that. That's our job, to be better than that, to be what we can be. And if you ask, well, is it better if he does that in Chutz Laaretz or in the land of Israel? So I'll answer you with a story. Rav Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel, quoted this story in a Shabbos Shuva drasha approximately 12 years ago. He said there was a young man who was learning Torah. And his father had his shop open on Shabbos, and he made decent money. And the son came here and learned what it was to be Jewish and how to keep mitzvot. And he got married here, and he continued learning here. And his father wanted to send him money to help him out. The son went to his rabbi and said, that money, my father was selling pig. My father was working on Shabbos. My father hasn't kept any of the 613 mitzvot. How could I take that money from him? So the rabbi said to him, son, your father hasn't been keeping any of the 613 mitzvot, and now he's trying to get one, and you're going to begrudge him that? So I'd say the same thing. A guy isn't living up to the mitzvot in Chutz Laaretz. He could come to Israel and do the one that's so, so big. Of living in Israel, you're going to begrudge him that because he's not yet living up to what he should on other fronts? I don't think so. I think that a person has to try and accomplish every mitzvah, and the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is a big mitzvah. And I'll end with a tangent. You mentioned the concept that the mitzvot and averot in Israel have a greater weight than in Chutz Laaretz. We have to be careful when we quote things. We have to know which concepts are halachic and which concepts are agadic. There are concepts in the Talmud that are really agadic by nature. The Talmud says, "Kol hadar b'chutz laaretz dome kemi she'ein lo eloha." Anyone who lives in Chutz Laaretz is like he has no God. So a person says, "Well, I could live in Chutz Laaretz and have great education for my kids, or I could live in Israel and have zero education for my kids. Which one's better?" Well, in Israel, maybe they won't be so good, but in Chutz Laaretz, they're like, they're pagans. Wrong. You can't decide halacha based on agoda. It's not my concept. The Beis Yosef says it. The Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo says, you can't bring proofs from Midrashim. Midrashim and stories, we don't pass in halacha from that. So even though the Talmud is coming to teach us a weight, that living in Chutz Laaretz on a certain level is like one has distanced oneself from God. It's called Dome Kemisha Enlo Eloha. It's like he has no God. So you look at the Ramban on Chumash, how to understand that, however you understand it. The one thing you should know is, you don't decide halacha based on agadic statements in the Talmud or in Midrashim. And that concept of the value of mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael versus the value of mitzvot in Chutz Laaretz, it's a concept. It has its place. It has its weight. But to start applying it halachically, I think would be probably an error. On this point or something new? Yes, sir.
I also heard a statement saying that it's better to live in Israel in a community of all idol worshippers than outside of Israel with a community of all devout Jews.
That's a Talmudic statement. The Talmud says in the end of Kesubos, it's a Mishnah, that if the wife says, "I want to move to Israel," and the husband says, but they're all non-Jews there, we'll be the only Jews, no minyan there," she's in the right. It's better to live in Israel. Now, that's provided that you could keep mitzvot. You know, the Ramban, when he came to Jerusalem, the Ramban had no minyan for a year or two. He was davening Shabbos without a minyan. They didn't have a minyan here. So yeah, that is not a gadik, but that's a gemara. That's a halacha. It's a halacha and Shulchan Aruch. As a matter of fact, you want to know where the Shulchan Aruch discusses living in Israel? So Shulchan Aruch mentions it in passing in the laws of Shabbos, and the Shulchan Aruch's primary discussion of it is in the laws of marriage, in the laws of a husband and wife, and what demands each one has a right to make. It's an Evan Ezer. Why is it over there? Because of this concept. That's where it appears in Talmud. On this point, guys? Yeah, Reuven.
Let's say, we're supposed to grow slowly at a pace. But say someone didn't know that and grew super fast, and now they're like, forget everything, I just want to start back where I was in the beginning. So, like, how do you figure the balance? Like, I'll give you myself as an example. I started off keeping Shabbat. That was it. I didn't know too much about it. I just decided I was going to keep Shabbat. And then I asked the rabbi, what should I do next? He said, kosher, I started moving towards kosher, and then a few months later, I was in yeshiva putting on tefillin, tallying every day, shachrit, marit, mincha, everything, you know, it seems like maybe I grew too fast.
Right, and I think a person...
I'm kind of now feeling like I'd rather just be keeping Shabbat and keeping kosher.
Right, so I think a person should work with his rabbi to take things off, to take things off fast, and it's not only my opinion. There's a famous letter by the Stipler. You guys heard of the Stipler? Bnei Brak, black hats, black coats, very machmir. Yeah, you guys heard of that? You've heard of him? The Stipler, the holy Stipler, a huge Talmud Chacham. He has a famous letter in which he recommends to yeshiva students to be wary of taking on stringencies. He says it's an atzat satan. It's the idea of the devil. Because what happens is a person takes on more stringencies and more stringencies, and he reaches a point, initially he says, I feel holy. And then it evolves into a point where he feels pressured. And Judaism becomes a pressure cooker. And so the Stipler wrote, he said, don't do it. You have to think 1,000 times before you take on a stringency on yourself. And when you take on a stringency, it should be bli neder. Person should say, I'm going to try this out. Whenever you take on a stringency, you should say, bli neder, I'm not taking this upon myself. I'm saying, let me try it, let me see. You're talking about mitzvot. You're not talking about stringencies. So I can't say the Stipler said it, but logic dictates that in the area of mitzvot as well, growth has to be gradual. Growth has to be really, really gradual. There was once a Chozer B'Tshuva from Machon Meir, who came to Rabbi Shapiro, chief rabbi of Israel, Zatzal. And he said, I'm so pressured about this mitzvah and that mitzvah, and I'm careful about this and I'm careful about that, and I'm so pressured, and this takes me so much time, and that takes me so much time. So Rabbi Shapiro gave him a ruling, which was unusual. This was the guy, this was one of the guys that ended up in the psychiatric hospital, so you could see how smart Rabbi Shapiro's answer was. Rabbi Shapiro said to him, he said, any leniency you encounter in halacha, it is your mitzvah to follow. Every leniency you encounter, your mitzvah is to follow. And the guy didn't listen to Rabbi Shapiro, and he ended up in a psychiatric hospital. So I was there the Shabbos he was running around naked saying he is Mashiach. it's not funny, guys. I'm not joking. I'm serious. The guy snapped. So I think a person has to think closely. When a person feels pressured by the mitzvot he's keeping, so it's advisable to go to your local rabbi who knows you and sit down and think with him how to cut down. Here we're not talking about stringencies, we're not talking about leniencies, we're talking about actual mitzvot, so it might be better to think with your rabbi so you can figure out how can I keep the basics and be comfortable with it. Meaning, sometimes you could cut off a lot. Like a person says, it's pressuring me to daven 3 times a day, it's driving me crazy, I feel like I'm not going to live up to it. So maybe we'll tell the person, okay, biblically you have to daven once a day, let's formulate what tefillah is right for you so you fulfill your biblical obligations. Go that route for a month or two, and we'll talk afterwards, we'll see what other leniencies to add. And I'm saying, instead of just saying, I won't pray, if a person is working with his rabbi, then a person can figure out how to fulfill, at least on certain things, the biblical obligations. Maybe the correct call is going to be to cut down 80%. Could be. Sometimes we say that. Let's cut down in order to work our way up. But that takes, you know, individual thought together. I think it would be a good choice for a person to consult with his rabbi and really work that out. And a person shouldn't feel guilty about it. Because again, God does not expect unfair things of us. God expects us to do what we can. But what we can is just that, not more than that. So a person has to work on growing slowly. That's why we say here at Machon Meir, for example, any hechsher, if it has an orthodox hechsher, eat it. Why? Because that's not something you should be worried about. First, get used to eating kosher. And I always tell guys, for the first 10 years you're Jewish, for you're keeping religion, for the first 10 years you're keeping mitzvot. So for those first 10 years, any hechsher, I don't care if it's Rabbanut Tel Aviv, Rabbanut Netanya, any hechsher, meat, milk, I don't care what. Eat it. Enjoy life. First, get used to eating kosher. After 10 years, come back to me and I'll tell you another 10 years. 10 years, not less. 10 years. And that's, I heard it from other yeshivas of Chozrim Tshuva. I don't remember if it was Or Sameach or Eish HaTorah. One of the rabbis there told me that that's what they tell their students. I don't remember which Chozrim Tshuva yeshiva. And I thought about it and I said, hey, that's so smart. First, let's get used to eating kosher. Afterwards, we'll worry about if there's any room for stringencies. It has a certificate, it's kosher. What do you need to think more than that? Yes, sir.
Now, I just want to touch on that last point that you said about the action. Can I switch the topic?